Northwest, it's me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia! You guys, you're number one! Woohoo!
Thanks so much, Mario. So great for you to introduce us. And hello, everyone. Welcome to Radio Geekly. I'm just Jess, and I am joined by a lot of our collective members. We have David and Tabitha and Jenna and Kyle here,
hello.
In the studio. Woohoo! I was trying to mimic.
It's a regular nerd party.
Yeah, I was trying to mimic Mario, but it wasn't happening.
It's us, so Radio Geekly.
Now I feel like I'm glad, racist or something. I don't know.
I'm glad that he's forever a part of the show now.
Yeah, yeah. He will live. He will live in our archives here. So, how's everyone doing today? It's a nice cloudy Friday morning.
It's a good Portland morning, though. It's not like doing the downpour thing too much. It's a nice day.
Yeah.
I dig it.
David, how you feeling?
Good. I almost pulled an all-nighter, but I'm just got a lot of projects to get done.
Busy. Yeah. And Kyle, you as well. You were doing some travels.
Yeah, some travels to Emerald City Comic Con yesterday. And I got here I woke up at 5 and got here before the sun rose. So I haven't seen the sun yet today or the lit up clouds. But I'm sure they're nice.
That's also Portland.
Not sure what it would look like outside until you actually step outside.
It seems like a good sacrifice, though, if it's like, man, I was having to be up all night and stuff because I was geeking out at like Emerald City. It's like, yeah. I'm a little bit jealous that you haven't seen the sun yet.
But yeah. I'm more curious about Wizard World because I've heard a lot of mixed things about it.
Yeah, and that's what we're here to talk about today, partly just the convention season. And I'm excited about conventions. I don't know how y'all feel, but I am super excited to get going and attend more cons and have a little better experience than our overall experience at Wizard World. So for those of you that were able to attend Wizard World, it was a few weeks ago, back in mid-February, and it was at the Oregon Convention Center, several celebrities and artists and vendors and things like that. And it was our second year representing KABU, but our first year as the ARG Collective. And so I thought we would be like having a little more insight into the depths that is Wizard World. So I wanted to get everybody's kind of initial thoughts on the experience, what they liked, what they disliked. Who would like to start?
Can we just say it right off the bat? That was a painful experience. That was painful. That was like not... I mean, like, I don't even think that Wizard World has always been that great of a con because it really is so, like, capitalistic and focused on, like, selling stuff. But this year was just kind of depressing. You walked in, it was, like, even less vendors. There weren't that many artists. Like,
yeah.
The quote-unquote, like, celebrity thing was awkward. Just there was a ton of open space.
Yeah. I mean, there is a benefit. I know that you and I and Tabitha talked about the open space being a positive thing because it's like, I want to shop and I want to be able to, you know, walk through the aisles and not have to bump into people. And but that also kind of said something like there weren't as many vendors.
And just how empty it was.
Yeah, Artist Alley. Like usually it's about twice as big. And even just artists, like vendors for artists weren't even there. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely, you could tell that the focus was not towards the artistry and more just for your average consumer. Yeah. I mean, when Comcast was there, it was like.
I want to know about the Comcast booth. Like what were they promoting specifically, I guess?
Signing up for cable.
Well, like any like plans? Like did they have pamphlets or mascots? Like what kind of flair do they have at a con? That's like what I.
Oh, yeah. Well, there were pens. There were pens.
Ooh. Did you get a pen?
No, I didn't. Because I didn't want to have to talk to them to sign up for something. You know, the only way I can really describe what Wizard World felt like with like Comcast and stuff like that, it reminded me of like a county fair when you go into like the exhibitor halls where you like expect to see people talk like about that sort of stuff. So that was like, whoa, where am I? And like, are we going to have a pie eating contest next? Like, what's happening?
Yeah,
I was kind of weirded out by the LASIK booth. Unless that LASIK company gave me like laser eyes. Otherwise, I didn't really see why they were at Wizard World.
Did they have a laser that they demonstrated?
I wish. No, it was just a booth that was giving out information about LASIK eye surgery and the services that this particular clinic or company offered.
Mm. Well, I kind of imagine, well, like, just from talking to people who's done, like, LASIK eye surgery, I would kind of imagine them just having, like, a laser light pointer and just, like, pointing at your eyes. Like, it's kind of like that, but, like, half hour?
There was demonstrations for tattoos, because people were getting tattoos done.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the nerd tattoos, I appreciate that. You know, it's one of the few places you can, like, find people who specialize in that. So that, that was fun. Can we talk about the Go-Go Girls?
Quick. I think you want to talk about the Go-Go Girls.
It was just... Okay, and I want that to be, like, a positive thing, because I'm not, like, anti-Go-Go Girls.
No.
But this was, like, something that kind of shocked us, because when we first walked into Wizard World, I was greeted by... a line of dancing Go-Go Girls who were not, like, random volunteers who were just like, oh, let's go and dance by the entrance. Mm-hmm. These were people in, like, Wizard World sanctioned costumes.
Yeah.
And they were just dancing there. Mm-hmm. It was so awkward. And I was like, what? No, stop with the fetishization. Like, why do you have to literally start it from the entrance?
Right. And just the loud, you know, as you're walking into and... Like, am I at a rave right now? Which, I mean, no offense to raves. It's I'm totally up for dancing, you know, and things. But if I'm going to a convention to try to, like, talk to people and want to buy comic books, my first impression is not a go-go dancer when I walk in. Wonder Woman, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, because they weren't any, like, specific cosplay. They were just like, hey, we're people in short dresses and go-go boots, and we're just going to, like... dance here.
Did they have the Wizard World logo?
And
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they were wearing the blue cape and not the volunteer cape. They're wearing, like, their own special go-go cape.
It would make a little more sense if instead of being greeted by go-go dancers, you're greeted by wizards.
What?
We were thinking of that too in the round table we recorded.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, we decided that we should cosplay as wizards and greet people at the door. And just have, you know.
Yeah, I just wanted to greet people with, like, my Gandalf beard. Okay, so the end of the Go-Go story is that I was just like, what is this? And I was talking to a friend who was sitting in Artist Alley, and he was like, oh, yeah, this happens at Wizard World. And, like, people complain, but unless you, like, get the actual consumers to complain, they're not going to do anything. It's like, since you're a consumer and not, like, an artist, why don't you go talk to people at customer service? I didn't even know there was customer service at Wizard World.
Which is a good thing, too.
Yeah. So I went up there and I, like, complained. I was like, I don't want to try, you know, I don't know, but I'm just saying that this is really awkward to just be met with these dancing women. There's no dancing men. It's just, like, these go-go dancers. And the customer service lady was like, she was trying not to acknowledge how problematic it was while still acknowledging how problematic it was, because she gave me the email address of the CEO and was like, and please CC me, because they need to hear about this and they're not going to change it or think it's problematic unless people, like, come up and say something. And we had a lot of, like, silent eye glances that told me a lot about that conversation. I was like, oh, this isn't the only city where this is a problem. Oh my god.
Oh man. Yeah, and so I think with that, we were trying to desperately find some positives in this convention. And I think one of those is looking for the local artists and vendors and things. And there were a few actual, like, celebrity, like, artists and things that I didn't even know were from Portland. And David, you got to talk to one in particular, Keith Tucker, who was the comic for some of the Spielberg cartoons, right?
He was a storyboard artist for some of the classic Spielberg cartoons that you'd recognize. My favorite was Pinky and the Brain, but Animaniacs and Tiny Toons. So he was there at the beginning of that with the whole Spielberg, whatever that company was back in the mid-90s. So it's kind of neat.
Yeah, and got to speak with him. And we have some audio from our interviews with local artists and stuff that we were going to play in just a few minutes. But I wanted to get your thoughts, David, on kind of your initial impressions. Have you been to Wizard World before?
I haven't. And, you know, part of my problem is I'm not too just experienced with cons in general. This one I warmed up to. I didn't go to any panels. I don't know if anyone else did, but I just sort of walked around the hall. My initial thing was it was confusing. They actually told me, I mean, I walked around, I was looking for specific artists to talk to, and I couldn't find anyone unless it's just by random chance. Mm-hmm. And I guess they messed up the whole paperwork. All the table addresses were wrong. They were, like, from last year.
Oh, wow.
So that was my, so I figured that out after an hour. And then
Yeah. Did you get an actual map? Because I remember looking at a map and it was like the numbers were so microscopic on the map.
But it didn't matter because it was all wrong.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So I ultimately just walked around and just talked to people. And, you know, like I said, I warmed up to it. I thought in general, it looks like the people there. I mean, when you dug deep with people, the vendor tables and stuff, you know, they did have stuff to say, but they wouldn't want to talk about it on record.
Mm.
And but with just the general atmosphere, it looked like everyone was having fun. I did like all the costumes. I did like the people, and you know, the art was amazing. So I came out with, like, I'd say a positive experience. I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, it was really interesting this year because the friend I had mentioned earlier, he, you know, he goes does the convention circuit and whatever, and he used to go to 10 different Wizard World cons per year because, you know, they're a national organization. And the Portland one was his absolute last Wizard World because he was just, like, so critical of it and just, like, how much they've been charging him for tables and just, like, the general environment. And he was even saying, like, yeah, the costumes weren't that good in Portland, everything. So I guess that was, like, my impression was, like, comparing it to, like, this year compared to last year. It was, like, there was less cosplay this year and there was less nerd joy happening, like, the feeling of nerd joy. I don't know how to, like, encompass that feeling, but does anybody else have that impression about the nerd joy?
Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying.
There was a lot of that at DC Cubed.
See, that's why I'm jealous. I wish I had gone to Emerald.
But this is something I'm wondering. But have you guys been to any other iterations of Wizard World, either in different years or different cities? Like you just mentioned, you went to Portland one last year. I'm kind of curious, like, if you went to this one, how does it compare to the other Wizard Worlds you went to?
We did go to the Wizard World last year, and it was slightly better just because there were more actual artists and vendors. It still had its weird difficulties with, I'm just going to mention sugar gliders and just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was more to, like, see and interact, and the panels were more intimate.
More nerd focused.
Yeah, and because the panels that were happening this year, they were kind of more on the main stage and were, like, open to everybody to come and attend, which is great, but then they had to, like announce it on the giant speaker system. So they're like, Nichelle Nichols is over here, and the mayor, you know, and you're like, what in the world is happening? When last year they had it in some of the smaller conference rooms, so it was a little more intimate. Like if you're meeting, I went to the panel for Jewel State, and she had maybe 100 people in the panel, but everybody that wanted to ask a question actually were able to ask questions versus this year's panels. It was so massive that lines just went, like, forever, and maybe a dozen, 15 people got to ask questions. So, yeah, it was a little bit more, like, widespread, which I guess could be a good thing. That way people can feel like they're, you know, oh my gosh, I'm so close to Dean Cain, like he's right there, you know, and be able to take their pictures. But at the same time, it wasn't the same kind of vibe that I got from last year of, like, actually interviewing folks and being able to speak on a panel and, like, I'm actually going to ask a question and I actually will have time to ask you a question, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like the quality of panels too. Like Wizard used to be more selective about, like, who they would ask me on panels, but now they've kind of gotten desperate. So it's just sort of like, hey, who wants to talk on a thing? And like almost anybody can really actually be like on a panel in all these different Wizard shows. So it's gone downhill quite a bit over the last few years.
Well, to dig into more of the actual experience, we have some recordings from our vendor and artist Q&As that we walked around the booths and were able to chat with some folks. And so this is kind of an extensive insight into our experience at Wizard World. So enjoy it, and we will be back to talk about upcoming cons. Hey guys, this is just Jess, and I'm here with our collective member Jack.
Hey.
And we are at Wizard World Comic Con, gonna do a little vox poppin' and stuff.
Vox poppin' and lockin'.
Yeah. What are you excited to see here? I know it's year two for us, and there's a little bit of a change than last year.
Yeah, Kevin Conroy's here. That's pretty cool. Some celebrities I can't wait to make awkward eye contact with as I walk past their booths. Other than that, not much. Some good cosplay. There's some good cosplay we've already seen today. Yes, as we marinate in this overwhelming smell of cinnamon thanks to a particular booth that has decided to gas the entire convention with the overbearing. It's like those pine cones times like 100.
I guess it could be worse, right?
Could it?
We'll find out.
Dun, 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 dun. It's the show.
Come on, we'll make this happen anyway. Come on up, come on up.
Here you go.
I'm Patricia, and I'm dressed as Columbia.
I'm Lauren, I'm dressed as Riff Raff.
I'm Hoswan, I'm dressed as Eddie.
I'm Elle, and I'm dressed as Magenta, and we're the Clinton Street Cabaret.
Oh, awesome. So you guys are local here.
Yes.
Very cool. And is this your first Comic-Con?
Yes.
And your first impressions?
Wild.
There's a lot of people. We're actually performing, so by no means are we here to have fun, but we are having fun, but the performance starts at 7. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been a blast. We've just walked around. We've seen other people cosplaying as Rocky Horror characters, which I didn't expect personally. You know, we got to see Barry Bostwick, which was, you know, a big, exciting moment for us.
Was he inspirational?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
More humbling than inspirational.
Oh, yeah, the pressure's okay. On.
Okay, and where can folks find out information outside of the Rocky Horror Show for tonight?
Well, I will direct you to one of our social media team members.
Hello.
Hi, I'm James. I'm on the social media team. You can find out more information at rockypdx.com.
You have it monthly, correct?
We have it on the first, third, and fifth Saturday of every month at the Clinton Street Theater.
Awesome. So if people can't catch you guys this weekend, they could definitely check you out at the Clinton Street.
Yep.
All right. Final thoughts on celebrities that you're actually interested in seeing besides Barry Bostwick?
I haven't seen any so far. I've just been running around. Nobody's at their booths.
Well, actually riding around, right?
Yeah. Riding around, yes.
I met John Barrowman in the men's room, so.
Way! Intentionally?
No.
might have been intentional for John, we're not sure. But I'm so excited that Nichelle Nichols is here for sure.
Yes. Great. Well, thank you all, and good luck tonight.
Thank you.
And I am at the Geek Girl Stuff booth, and I am speaking with one of its founding members. Hello, state your name.
My name is Kelly Costin.
And Kelly, have you been to this Wizard World Comic Con before?
Yes, once before last year.
And what are your thoughts on this year's convention? It's a little bit a different construction, I see.
It's a different construction, mainly because there were a lot of complaints last year. So I'm noticing there's a lot fewer booths. I think there's a lot fewer people. It's not as crowded as it usually is. I'm not really sure if that's because it's too expensive. I don't know why.
And what drew you girls back here to the Wizard World Comic Con?
Our boyfriend. We are huge fans of John Barrowman. We love him dearly, and the fact that he was just doing his panel right behind our booth was very lovely. We enjoy it. There's a lot to see. There's a lot to experience. And so, yeah.
And describe for our listeners a little bit of the products that you're selling at your booth.
Oh, Lord. Well, on our right, I do a lot of art. So I have drawings, ink drawings, and I've got watercolor paintings, digital paintings, 3D prints of various geekery, Batman, Star Wars, Death Stars, TIE Fighters, Harry Potter wands, keychains. We have various etched glass, beer steins, drinking glasses, shot glasses, chocolates in the face in the shapes of various geekery, usually our Dark Lord of Chocolate and White Chocolate Troopers, dragon eggs, jewelry, and ear cuffs, so wire-wrapped ear cuffs that make your ears look like elf ears or fairy ears. Kind of fun.
And you girls are located locally, is that correct?
Yes, we are local.
And so what makes it such an important convention for you being a local business?
Fan base. It's, you know, being around this many people, we're starting to see repeat customers. We're starting to have a more of a following of people who are like, oh, here, we've been looking for you guys. That's kind of a new experience for us. It's very lovely.
Awesome. And if folks cannot make it down this weekend, where can they find your stuff to purchase?
We have an online store on our website, geekgirlstuff.com, all one word. And then we will, after the show, we're going to get more goodies on our website, so stay tuned.
Do you have other conventions you're going to be going to this year?
Yes, we will be at Rose City Comic Con in September, and then we will be at Oricon in November. That's up at I want to say the Red Lion Hotel on Jansen Beach, but I'm not entirely sure. That'll be our first year at Oricon, and this will be our third year at Rose City Comic Con.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Kelly, so much, and enjoy the rest of the con.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.
Awesome. And your name?
My name is Rob McFarlane.
And you are part of the Outer Rim Collective?
I am the president of the Outer Rim Collective Costume Club.
Awesome. And is this your first Comic-Con?
This is not, actually. Wizard World, yes. We've been at Rose City. We just recently got done with NewCon here in Portland. And, yeah, so we're trying to raise money for St. Jude's Children's Research and running a scavenger hunt and telling people about the club and just having a really great time.
What makes your club unique more than any other costume club?
So what makes our club unique, we're a Lucasfilm-approved costume club based on the Outer Rim territory characters, the people that you see when you go into the cantinas or in the movies when you see, like, the cantina characters and people in Jabba's Palace, Maz Kanata's Castle, Nima Outpost. Those are the people that the working class of the Star Wars universe is what we represent, like smugglers, pirates, people that make money while the rest of the world's at war.
Very cool. And do you recruit often?
We recruit as often as possible. So, you know, we have costume-based requirements that we have, and they're pretty custom-wide. I mean, they're really welcome to putting your own flair to the costumes.
And so more information for people to find out can be on a website?
Absolutely. We go to outerrimcollective.org, and you can find all the information. We have a community forum on there with a bunch of really great people on there. You just join the forum and get involved and come help raise money for charity.
Are you guys here all weekend?
We are here all weekend.
Awesome. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm here at Wizard World Comic Con, and I'm speaking with
author Miranda Meyer.
And is this your first convention?
It is absolutely not. I've done it for about the last 5 years. I've done the Wizard World and a couple of other ones.
Very cool. And are you local to the Portland area?
I'm about an hour away, so yes, I'm an Oregonian.
Cool. And how long have you been writing your novels?
I've been publishing my novels since 2007. I've been writing my whole life.
And how is the convention going so far?
It's going pretty good. It's kind of different this year than the last ones, but it definitely seems to be rolling along. I love it, and I have the best seat in the house because I can watch the cool cosplay go by. So.
And can you describe for our listeners a little bit of the genre that you write in?
I write high fantasy and low fantasy. I do kind of a historic take on some of my fantasy, which is more of a Regency period with a supernatural twist. And I also do high fantasy with dragons. You got to have dragons.
Awesome. And where can folks find out more information about your books or where they can purchase them outside of the convention?
You can go to MirandaMeyer.com for information on me, or you can just go to Amazon and search my name, and all of my novels should show up. So, Miranda Meyer.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Miranda. Enjoy the rest of the convention.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
So I am here with Alex for Harebrain Design, and they make these fabulous period panties. So tell me about them.
So they're just real fun underwear that you can wear on your period or any other time. They all have period puns on them. A lot of them are pop culture based, but they're just all sorts of different period puns.
I was reading some of them. There's a Game of Thrones one that says fire and blood. There is, but there's a Beetlejuice one that says, it's flow time. Did you come up with the puns yourself?
Yes, so it's a collaborative effort. There's a few of us, and we're constantly working on new ideas, and even today we've been brainstorming some new stuff, so yeah.
I think they're hilarious. How long ago did you come up with the idea and execute it from there?
So the idea has been in the works for a long time, and we tried doing a few different runs years ago, and then in 2014 we did a Kickstarter, and that's when this really took off. We met and surpassed our goal by a long shot, and we're able to make a whole bunch of them, and we're still making them today.
Awesome. Who does the artwork?
So it's someone named Anthony. He's our best friend and business partner. He just happens to live in Chicago, and we live in Portland.
Okay. Oh, you live in Portland. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten any controversy or any flames or internet trolling because of your products?
People are overwhelmingly positive about it. I think that us just existing helps reduce the stigma around, guess what, 50% of the population either will have, has, or has had a period. So that really helps. But we do get the occasional just dirty look. We've had to take certain pairs down because they're too inappropriate for the con that we're at or whatever. But generally, it's really, really positive.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you very much. It was nice to talk to you.
I'm here with the creators of Wranglers of Northwind Academy with writer Lon and artist Jack. Tell me about your project and how it started.
Okay, so Wranglers of Northwind Academy is a sort of loving riff on a Harry Potter or Hogwarts-style magical school, but with a focus on the faculty of said school instead of the students. And we sort of got the idea, we both work at a private school here in town, and we have to deal with the kids all day, and we just thought, wouldn't it be horrible if they also had magic?
And I see that you looks like, or is that something else, that superpower thing, or is that something else that Jack has done?
An older work here, which we're also selling, Atlas, which we were doing for a few years until printing costs became prohibitive to its production. So now we're refocusing and doing everything digitally online so we can afford to keep putting it out. And it drops every other week now, every other Sunday.
Now, Jack, do you work at a school? You guys work together?
Yeah. So we work together. Lon writes up the stories and the scripts, then I draw them from there and color them with Photoshop and put them online.
And you both live in Portland? You're both local?
Yeah, we're both local.
Yeah, I've been living here for the past, 8 years now or so.
And you're basically a couple of artist creators trying to spread your craft.
Yeah, our biggest thing right now is trying to get this comic in front of as many eyes as possible, because it's all online now, so we just need as many people who want to come and like our Facebook page, go to wonacomic.com if that's cool.
All right, and how has this place been treating you?
Wizard World has been interesting. I think Rose City Comic-Con was kind of our home base con, and we just saw this one coming through Portland. We decided to give it a shot, and it's all right. It's not the biggest crowd I've seen at a con, but it's been fun. We've been meeting a lot of good people here.
Well, I hope you're doing well, and I hope you get some more eyes. So, Wranglers of Northwind Academy, it's a Harry Potter spoof based on...
Following the faculty more than the kids, yeah.
You guys are faculty. This is your thing. All right.
Thanks a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm at the Gaming Gear booth with Brian and Anna, and they... Well, let's have them explain what they do here. Brian?
Okay, we sell tabletop accessories such as like coasters, dice bags, T-shirts, just anything to bring the tabletop gaming experience, role-playing games, board games, to a more comfortable feeling, and so that way you can kind of show yourself who you are while you're gaming.
I mean, I see here a lot of coasters. You got your, what is that, Settlers of Catan stuff?
This is Carcassonne. We have Settlers of Catan, Monopoly, Clue, just a lot of those old classics, and some of the ones that people might not have heard of, like Carcassonne even, and Settlers of Catan, they're both recently very popular, but still kind of coming around to the older generations. I grew up on Monopoly and that sort of thing, and so it's nice to see the older generation really taking a look at what's new, because the board game industry is exploding.
And I see, Anna, you're actually designing more as we speak.
I'm designing another set of coasters, which are dungeon-themed. I have, the different combinations so people can kind of, build a dungeon with their coasters like they would in D&D or something like that.
You are both artists, or is this your work in general, Anna?
It's more mine. He's started to become more artsy. He's actually working on a map coaster set that we're doing. I've kind of taught him, how to make the coasters. And so he's helped me in the actual physical labor of making this stuff as well.
I mean, the coasters stand out, but you also have everything else you need: dice bags, die. You got some cards here. Oh, I see. Those are your cards. That's really cool.
Which are modeled after trading cards.
Yes.
Yeah. And did you go crazy and give yourselves high points or?
I don't think we gave each other points. We just did a D20 and some fun symbols and our logos.
That's really clever.
Some chainmail pouches and chainmail dice necklaces. Definitely kind of like a medieval-y thing. We're planning on doing some Renaissance fairs.
And also we're doing things like wax seals on dice bags to kind of bring you that old feel back. Because we've all seen those wax seals on Game of Thrones and Treasure Island, how they opened them up, and it was like, that's missing. That's no longer a thing. Let's bring that back. And it's really that old, just nostalgic, old-timey feel.
Do you design these stamps as well?
Don't. We are talking about getting a 3D printer so that we can start making our own and maybe make some that are like D20s and more gaming-themed ones. Currently, we just bought these, and then we stamp on the pouches.
It's pretty cool. I like what you got going here. It's definitely the game thing is exploding. I think Portland's a good place for that. I appreciate you speaking to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We do appreciate it.
I'm with Keith Tucker. He's a storyboard artist of some of the classic Spielberg tunes. Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain, Tiny Toons, Pinky and the Brain, one of my favorites. I had a couple quick questions. Thanks for speaking with me, Mr. Tucker.
Hello.
How is nostalgia treating you?
Nostalgia. Well, you know, I've seen nostalgia coming up and down the aisles on occasion, and yeah, pretty well.
The reason for my question is, I mean, I would go to sleep watching Pinky and the Brain. Now I'm at an age, and I imagine a lot of other people, where, you know, it's all coming back at us, and you know, like, oh, yeah, the good time feeling, stuff like that. And hopefully I'm, you know, you're able to ride that wave. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty cool. No, nostalgia's treating me very well. And one of the Spielberg's criteria for the cartoons that he co-produced with Warner Brothers was that they appeal to adults and kids the same way the old Looney Tune cartoons, which aired before the movies. You go to see a movie and you'd get to see a cartoon instead of commercials, and then you see the movie. And those cartoons had to appeal to adults and kids because they were in theaters. And that was his criteria, that they appeal, am I being repetitious? Yes, to adults and kids. So when the kids grow up and they look at the cartoons again, they go, hey, wait a minute. I didn't get that when I was a kid, but I get it now.
That's exactly it. Like you miss so much, and they have much more life because of stuff like that. It's great, and you know, they still hold up by far, all these shows, I think.
Yeah, they were brilliantly written, and we were really given a lot of latitude to push the envelope, so to speak. And it was at a time when there was a lot more competition. They changed the rules in 96 with the Telecommunication Act. And before that, the studios could not own their own network, or vice versa. A network couldn't own their own studio. So if a studio wanted to have a show, they had to compete with each other for airtime. But once they were allowed to buy up the network, or studio, as I put it, they didn't have to compete anymore, and that really changed the landscape.
Well, things seem different, but maybe it's because I'm looking at it from a different age.
Well, yeah, but they, Warner and Disney were like competing big time for airtime. You know, if you want, you had to sell a show to a network, and if you're competing with somebody else, it's like your show better get on. And so they put a lot more into it.
Well, I appreciate you talking to me. And the only other question I have, if it is a question, did Pinky and the Brain in Elmira actually exist, that show? Do you remember?
Yes, it did, and I worked on that one too. It was a little different, but it was still the same crew. I mean, we just kept going.
It kept it going. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you talking to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, and I'm really happy that everybody loved these, what we did back then, you know, that it holds up to this day. I remember one episode, Tiny Toons, I did with Plucky in the elevator, or it was his Ellie Lator, I storyboarded that one.
It's something to be proud of for sure, yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you, man. And thank you, microphone. I'm shaking the microphone.
Chief, mate, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
The Pinky and the Brain. Yes, Pinky and the Brain. One is a genius, the other's insane.
Oh, Pinky and the Brain. You guys remember watching that cartoon? Yeah, it was.
It was my favorite Animaniac segment.
Oh man, yeah. It was great, and that was a cool interview, David, that you did with Keith Tucker. Excuse me, and you said he's a local now, right?
Yeah, he gave me his card with his personal number 5. So, but he was really cool, and then it's neat to have these local touchstones of things that, you know, like. A lot of this thing with just like Nichelle Nichols and all the people there, it's kind of like that reflected glory you want.
Right.
You know, like I have nothing to do with any of this. All I know is they made me feel good,
mm-hmm.
and I want some of that. So just sprinkle some of what you got. And you know.
Sprinkle the goodness.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah, so. Totally. And so with Wizard World, I know we wanted to focus a lot on local artists and vendors and also on local conventions. And one that's actually happening this weekend is the Emerald City Comic Con. And David, you were saying that some of the voice actors were actually...
Maurice LaMarche and Rob Paulson, the two guys who do the voices. Rob won like a slew of Emmys for doing... Pinky, so you know.
That's really cool.
Oh my gosh, we all need to go road trip up there right now.
That was,
I know,
right? It's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah, and Kyle, you actually were able to go up there yesterday. So mm-hmm. talk a little bit about your experiences in like such a giant convention that is Emerald City.
I only got the bite-sized portion, but having said that, it was just super overwhelming. Just like so much was there. Just like, you know, like Peridot and Abracadaniel cosplays galore, and just like these nice artisan Italian leather Mario and Luigi hats.
What?
And just like, I don't know, like we were talking about like...
Points for authenticity because it's Italian leather.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like we were talking about like how a lot of cons, they have like a lot of merch and a lot of franchise pushing, but like the sheer magnitude of it, it was astounding. But one thing that I thought was profound about it was I also ran into a lot of people that I've met in Portland, either at conventions or at comic shops.
Oh, wow.
So it really like, it definitely like shows that there is like a strong sense of community there. And also, I had a brief conversation with the marketing manager of Fantagraphics, and she was just talking about like how like even in like the past 10 years, like cons have become so multifaceted and beyond like only selling comics. As much as I love them and I love going to cons that sell them exclusively, but now it's just like such a vast culture, and it's just, yeah, man.
Comics are mainstream.
EC cubed.
Yeah. So, and that's going on until Sunday.
Until Sunday.
Okay.
And if you're listening to this right now and at the place, the Cyanide and Happiness creators are doing a group jam sketch.
Nice.
A sketch jam. That's what it's called. I have the program book here.
He's not just pulling it out of his brain.
No,
no. He's
reading it. I did not memorize it.
You memorized the entire weekend.
For this slot of time. Yeah. Oni.
Are you like a savant?
No.
He's a con savant.
I wish. I would like to be a comic savant. Yeah. That would be awesome.
You would be like the best customer service person. You just like stand there and everyone just comes up to you and you're just like pointing at booths and boom, yeah. Panel here, panel there.
Mm-hmm.
So did you go to any panels while you were there?
I went to one briefly. It was for some comic artists who were doing like the world of like Avatar and like Legend of Korra. And that's the only one I stopped by, but like you were talking about like nerd joy, but like the intimacy between the panelists and the audience, it was profound. It was practically like a conversation, the way the audience mm-hmm. would interject and the way the panelists would answer questions. Like, and it wasn't like any like hecklers or anyone being belligerent either. And that's really the only time where I see like a back and forth between like an audience member and panelists. But it's just like, it was definitely like a shared beauty in that, I think. Even though I've never seen Avatar or Legend of Korra. But I wanted to stop by one panel.
I have the whole Avatar, The Last Airbender on DVD.
Binge watch!
Yeah. I'm going to make you watch all of it.
Wait, there's this one joke I want to quote from one of the comic artists real quick. He was just talking about how he got signed onto the project, and he was like, hey man, you gotta watch Avatar. It's the best show that's ever come out of North America. And he was just like, even if it's from Nickelodeon? It's just
oh yeah.
Not even to rip on Nickelodeon, because growing up with it, it's great. But I don't know what his beef with it was. But yeah, long story short, EC cubed.
Awesome. And did you get to chat with any like artists and vendors when you were there?
I did. I chatted with quite a few, but the one that I got recorded, I spoke to Hammond Blumenreich, and she does a lot of like local like indie stuff. But she also came out with a Spidey zine, which is a Spider-Man fan art comic, and that got the attention of Marvel. So, and she got solicited to do Amazing Spider-Man this month.
Cool. So, wow. And we have that recording. Yes. So let's take a listen to the interview that Kyle did with Hannah Blumenreich.
I talked to Hannah Blumenreich at Emerald City Comic Con yesterday in Seattle. She recently released the Spider-Man fan comic, Spidey Zine, and makes her Marvel debut with Amazing Spider-Man 25. You can find her in Artist Alley in Section P9 during EC Cubed this weekend. So how did you join like the con circuit, I guess?
I have no idea. I sort of fell into it, I guess. Mm-hmm. This is my first like commercial convention, I guess, because you know, if you want to think of the other ones as like the indie cons and things like that, like Cake and SPX, which are pretty big, I mean, you know. But yeah, just a way to promote my stuff and get in there. I started with Mix in 2011. That ran for like 2 years. It's a little short guy. And then went away. And then I went to more because it's a really good way to meet people and promote your work.
Yeah, based on what I've seen in your comics and sketches, you seem to pay a lot of attention to character expression. Like, they have, like, their nuance. Like, it doesn't seem like any two are alike.
Oh, sure.
So I'm kind of wondering if that's more of an intuitive thing or something you put deliberate effort into?
Both. Definitely both. Let's see. I guess it's something that I was already doing. And then I saw Iron Giant. Mm-hmm. And Brad Bird's expressions just, like, clicked for me. I was like, oh, okay, that's how it's supposed to work. That's how it goes. And I guess it became sort of both intuitive and also studied. Like, I have a face and it's supposed to make a specific expression and I can't quite get it right, I'll spend, like, probably too much time trying to get it exactly right. But I have to, like, know when it's there and then to stop drawing and not fuss with it anymore.
Where do you think the urge comes from to get it just right?
I guess it's a storytelling thing. Like, if you have the wrong expression, you're going to get the wrong kind of acting, and then you're going to send the wrong kind of story or information to the reader who can't read your mind and get exactly what you're trying to get. So it's, like, the closest you can get to being, like, this is how you need to feel about what's happening now to a reader. So if you can get that exactly right, you can sort of tell a joke the right way, you can tell a sad moment the right way, if you can get the face spot on, you know, and the gesture.
Compared to what your process is now, what was your method of self-printing back then when you first started as to now?
It's the same. It hasn't changed. It really should. I went to the Minneapolis College of Art and Design, and there's a printing center in there. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend who works there, and she's so competent and so good, and she'll print out my stuff, and she knows, and I don't have to, like, talk her through, like, exactly what I need cut and done, because she knows, and she's real great. I have been thinking of, like, you know, eventually getting a larger book. It'd be cool to, like, use a printer and get, like, some different paper options and stuff than, like, a small college printing center can provide, obviously.
The not-so-secret identities panel? Can you tell me more about what that is and what you'll be doing there?
I'm not 100% clear on... I haven't seen the questions, actually, so I don't know what I'm getting asked. But I do know that I'm there with a lot of really cool people who I'm excited to meet, so I'm there excited for that. I'm excited to talk about superheroes and, like, identity politics, because that's what superheroes are, you know, at their best, I think.
So I guess, how can gender politics improve in the superhero genre?
Ugh, anyway. Anything is improvement. I think it has a lot to do with which creators you bring in. If you have, for instance, a straight white dude coming in to tell a story, it can be done, but it's been done so much that it's more interesting to bring in, like, anyone else to tell the story of anyone else. You know, even to get someone else in to tell a story of a straight white guy who isn't a straight white guy can put a much more interesting spin on it, I think. Yeah, I think it has to do a lot with creators more than content at this point, because you see a lot of sameness in creators. It's changing, I think, but, you know, you see that a lot, and it affects the kind of stories that come out because it affects the experiences those creators have had.
You've probably talked about this before, but how did the Spidey zine get the attention of Marvel? So I'm pretty curious about that.
I have no idea. I think one or two of the sort of the right people saw it and pushed it towards editors, and that was what happened. But I think it just got really huge online and it sort of fell into the right people's laps. I didn't expect that to happen. I really thought it would, like, get some notes and then it would sort of go away, because that's what happens to, like, everything that gets put online, right? But it became super huge and sort of amazing.
I've been trying to figure out where the sense of community among concerning the medium of comics, like, where it comes from. Like, it's definitely seen in smaller cons. I have a hunch that it's more about how there's something integral to the comics medium that draws people together because people put so much into making them. But I'm kind of wondering, where do you think that community and sense of connection comes from?
I think it has to do with us being so small. We're such, like, a little medium, and we're all, like, locked away in our rooms all the time. It helps so much that there's social media. We can all, like, just talk to each other on Twitter when we're all, like, tucked away working at, like, 4 in the morning. And then when we get to meet each other, there's, like, that sense of, like, oh, you're the person who is, like, dealing with whatever you're dealing with at some odd hour of the morning. So there's that. And then I guess, I don't know, like, sort of a sense of camaraderie, just because we're working on this, a medium that isn't taken terribly seriously in this country, this continent, maybe. But I guess because we're not a very big medium compared to, like, let's say, movies. Like, a comic book movie is a huge, huge deal, but a comic book is not such a huge deal. And so as creators, we're, like, much tighter and more protective of the media that we make, I think, than, like, something that's so much bigger, because we feel more that it's in our own hands and that we're much closer to it.
And also, just as far as its operation goes, what do you think of Emerald City?
This is my first time doing it. So far, so good, I guess. It seems intense. I'm on the sixth floor of a building doing this, which is crazy. I don't know, it all feels like a lot. I don't think I'll have a really good opinion of it until the very end, when I can, like, really step back and assess it. But so far, so good.
That is so cool, Kyle, that she actually got signed on to do Marvel.
Yeah, and, like, if you read the Spidey zine that she came out with, it's just, like, these are all very human stories of Spider-Man. Like, I could go on about, like, my beef with, like, the superhero genre, but it's just, right? Yeah. Just enough.
We could go on, but we only have another 12 minutes to talk about.
Another time. But, yes, you know, it's just, like, a lot of fighting, and no one stays dead for long, but these are just, like, you know, like, there's a story in here about, like, Spider-Man, like, helping someone walk down the streets in New York who doesn't feel safe walking alone.
Oh, wow.
And it's just, like, things like this. And just, like, it's great.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And so would you encourage listeners to check out Emerald City over some other local conventions?
I mean, I've been to two Wizard Worlds in years past. But, yeah, Emerald City is the way to go. But, like, looking on the list of upcoming conventions, they all look pretty good. Actually, about EC Cubed, we're looking at other stuff that's going on, and it's just, like, again, I got a bite-sized sample. Like, there's just so much there, and it's just...
Yeah, and it's going on until Sunday, so if people have tickets to enjoy it, it's awesome. But for those of us that did not get tickets to have you attend for us geeks here and get a little insight onto upcoming conventions and things that are already happening here, even though it was up in Seattle, you were able to take the bus, which is probably not a terrible ride.
It was a long time, but it was a good day trip. Yeah, definitely.
So here's a question. Since Wizard World was kind of poorly attended this year, do you think that people, like, were saving their money and, like, I'm going to save my money to go up to Emerald World? Like, because you're saying a bunch of Portlanders, like, was that worth your money to save and go there?
I had a hunch when I was there, just because, I guess, like, since it was the first day, I wasn't expecting it to be as crowded as it was, but it was packed, even on the first day. And it wasn't even sold out. So, yeah, I could see people not going to Wizard World and going to Emerald City instead for the sake of finances or time or whatever it is.
Yeah.
How many days do you think it would take you to, if you could go back, would you like go for the whole time?
I would want to go for the whole time if I was like doing something involved there, like if I was on a panel or had like a table in like Artist Alley or something, or doing more journalism. But yeah.
Very cool. Or people are saving up money for other conventions that are happening in March. And let's talk about that real quick. So Emerald City is going on till this Sunday. And next week, March 11th through the 12th, I believe that's next weekend, is the Bricks Cascade Lego Convention.
This sounds like so much
here
fun.
Here at the Oregon Convention Center. Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I should have assumed there would have been a Lego convention of some sort. I know that they have the exhibit going on at OMSI right now. Have any of you checked it out yet?
No.
Yeah.
Not yet.
It's
that exists.
The Art of the Brick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could this be a Radio Geekly field trip?
It could be. All right, we got to sign off right now because we have to go build some Legos. No, so that's going on next weekend at the Oregon Convention Center. You can find out information at brickscascade.com. Then the following week, March 18th and 19th, is the first annual Northwest Comic-Con at the Tillamook County Fairgrounds.
Yo, we got to check this one out.
Will they have cheese?
I know, right? Yeah. And ice cream.
Yeah.
And like a Goonies moment or whatever. It's just like everything from the coast is just like represented in this one thing.
Yeah, they call it the Con at the Coast. So if you go on to the website northwestcomiccon.com, they have their mascot is Sasquatch wearing a mask. I think that's pretty awesome.
Very regional.
Very regional.
Good cosplay idea.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of cosplay, Kyle, they actually mentioned on their website that cosplay is encouraged. So I think that's really cool that they want people to actually come.
Sass cosplay?
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
I hope that they'll also have signs that say cosplay is not consent.
Yes.
There was one of those at Emerald City when you first walked in the door.
Oh, that's good. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
That
Very
was
good.
Lacking at Wizard World. We're just going to throw that out there. Wizard World this year did not provide that sign. So I'm glad to see that was at Emerald.
Yeah, very cool.
So Tillamook, cheese, signs.
And then moving on to the next item that I saw on the interwebs is the Frankenstein's comic book swap on March 25th. And Kyle, you have been to one of these. Can you kind of chat a little bit about that?
I've been to, I usually try to go to them when they come around. They happen three times a year. It's the Frankenstein's comic swap. That's like the local comic dealers. Like they have a lot of used stuff.
Okay.
A lot of used comics, and they sell those. And then later in the day, they'll have Comics Thing, which is the small press, kind of like hole in the wall, like comics, like mini Comic Con almost.
Okay.
And if you're an artist there, it costs about $5 for a table. If you're trying to like find like a good like. If you're like new at it and you don't want to like start like a big thing like Wizard World or like EC Cubed, it's a good place to start and like get to know like how cons work and how to distribute your work. That's the experience I've had with it, just like talking to other people about it.
Very cool. Yeah, so that's going on March 25th off of Southeast Hawthorne. You can find out information frankensteinscomicbookswap.com. And the last item that I have here is GameStorm for all of you tabletop gamers, RPGers out there. It's going to be March 30th through April 2nd. And fun fact, the ARG Collective will have a panel on Sunday, April 2nd. So please join us. It's at the Red Lion Jansen Beach. And more information can be found at GameStorm.org. And I believe tickets are still available for purchase. So yeah, any other events that you guys are excited about? I mean, there's a lot here. But.
Well, I just have a question about the Frankenstein's comic book swap. I wonder if anyone would swap my Backstreet Boys comic.
Ooh.
What? There was Probably. A Backstreet Boys comic?
Yes. I was actually never a huge like NSYNC or Backstreet Boys fan, but I was one day at Sam Goody, if anyone remembers those, and there was a Backstreet Boys like superhero comic book. It's like, man, this is so ridiculous. I'm buying this.
Wait,
and I still have it.
Did they save the world through their singing, like, and their dance moves?
No, they all, through some freak accident, as these things happen, they all got superpowers. And they become, like a five-man superhero team. I really can't remember. It's been a while since I've actually read it. But I just thought it was, oh man, this is such like a product of the 90s. I have got
you
to have this.
You
gotta
bring that in. You gotta see this.
I don't know why you'd want to swap that though. That's like a national treasure.
This is true.
It's gonna save the world one day.
Yeah, so maybe I will never get rid of it.
I hope you're keeping a board and you know it's in the plastic. You're using the gloves every time you pick it up because, yeah, in like 20 years, you're gonna have the only copy maybe. Yes.
Wow. Well, we have so much more to talk about, and we had so much fun, for what it's worth, going to Wizard World, and we had more recordings and things. So for all of our listeners, we are going to post some special additional content on the KBOO website of more recordings, more celebrity interviews that we got to chat with. And if you were listening at the beginning of the show, Mario greeted us, and we actually got an interview with the voice of Mario. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to wrap up here and say goodbye to all of you. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to David, Tabitha, Jenna, and Kyle for joining us. And we want to have you all enjoy your weekend, go to conventions, have fun, eat some cinnamon almonds, drink some crazy soda that's green or something.
It's served in a stein.
It's served in a Monster Energy drink. And thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned for Moving On at Noon, and we'll catch you next month where we're going to be talking about games.